Dr. Rubidoux, thank you very much. I'm going to defer my questions until the end of the process. I'll call on the Vice Chairman, Senator Barroso.
Well, thank you very much. I think you've had a chance to answer most of the questions that I had yesterday. Listening to Dr. Hill talking about your intelligence as well as your dedication, and both will serve you very well in this job, but it is, I believe, your dedication which is going to make the real difference in the success that I see you having in the years to come. So I'm very grateful for that. I did a little research last night. I told you about the Indian Health Service building that we have in Wyoming at the and I said it must be at least 100 years old. I think somewhere in here we had the number, and I've lost it right now. I think it's approximately 130 years old. So I'm still welcoming you to visit us in Wyoming at the Wind River Reservation and see what we can do to help things there. Yesterday you and I talked a bit about diabetes management and treatment, and I told you about a number of young men who were with us on Sunday in Casper, Wyoming at a deployment service for members of the military, they performed a tribal ceremony, a send-off, a blessing. And looking at them, I had great concerns for their own health, for the potential for diabetes, for their life expectancy. And could you just take a couple of seconds to share for us your vision and maybe some ideas you have on how we can really come to grips and even more successfully under your leadership address these problems?
Well, thank you. Yes, the problems of the health status of the American Indian and Alaska Native population are great. Chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity are threatening the lives of our people. And what's so heartbreaking about it is we're seeing young children who are obese, and we're seeing young children with diabetes. And we know that if they have these conditions early in life, they're also going to experience the complications early in life as well. And that's heartbreaking. We don't want this new generation of American Indians to die before their parents. We want them to live long and healthy lives. And so first, we do need to look at the Indian Health Service and look what we've done well in terms of treating and preventing diabetes. Fortunately, your committee has supported the Special Diabetes Program for Indians. I believe these resources have gone to great use in terms of helping us begin the process and the fight against diabetes, both prevention and treatment of this illness. As I look at the Indian healthcare system, I definitely want to improve the quality of care. I want to improve access to care and to make sure our patients are getting needed healthcare services.
And I'll just go with one other question, Mr. Chairman. We're having a major debate here in the Senate and in Congress on overall reform of healthcare in America. We passed a bill last year through this committee and through the Senate that had to do with the Indian Health Service, didn't make it all the way through the process. Are there thoughts you have on ways that we can improve the Indian Health Service from a legislative standpoint to make your life, to make you more successful in your job as the new director?
Well, yes. As you know, the Indian Health Care Improvement Act was passed by the Senate but didn't make it through Congress last year. Tribes have supported this bill for years because they see it as a way to improve and modernize the Indian Health Service. And both the President and I support passage of this legislation. So I'm looking forward to working with you to find solutions to ensure that we pass this important piece of legislation.
Congratulations, Dr. Rubidoux. Is it possible to address the issues of preventive care, diabetes, obesity, cancer, suicide, and mental health, among other things, within your current budget?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. It's clear that the Indian Health Service funding is woefully inadequate to meet the needs of this population. It's clear that we could do a lot better job if we had more resources. Of course, these are difficult budgetary times, and everybody's being asked to do more with less. But if you look at the Indian Health Service, I am confident that if there are, it needs a significant increase in additional resources to help address some of these problems. In addition, the President and I also know money is not the only solution. So I plan to look at what we're doing in the system, what we're doing well, and try to spread the lessons learned of that around in the system and make sure that if there are things we're not doing well, that we correct them. So I think there's a lot we can do towards preventing disease and treating disease. In addition, I'm looking forward to talking with our tribal leaders. I think that the solutions to restoring our communities to health and wellness is to partner with our tribes. And now more than ever, we need their help because the clinic cannot deal with these health problems alone. Many of the health problems have their roots in other conditions in the community. So I'm really looking forward to working with our tribes on solutions to these problems.
Why is there such a level of suicide among our Native Americans?
Oh, the story of suicide in Native Americans, especially young teenagers, is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see a young life end before they've had a chance to make their contribution, the potential contribution they could to our society. I think that problems like suicide have deep roots throughout all of the issues we face in Indian country, and that it's important when we look at the solution for suicide that we work closely with our communities and we work with as many partners as we can to try to figure out how to adequately identify people at risk, how to treat them and respond to them and keep them safe, but we also have to definitely work on correcting those factors in our communities that are making our children think that they don't have a life that's worth living. We want them to live longer and we want them to be healthy. So I'm looking forward, if confirmed, to working with you to talk about what some of those solutions might be and also working with our tribes.
One last question. It seemed to me that the level of education and income ought to be addressed along with health care. There are intertwined. As long as we lack education and income, we will have a problem with obesity, among other things. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think that in order for a person to be healthy, they need to be living a healthy life. And if they don't know how to live a healthy life, then they don't have a chance. In our communities, we have a problem with poor schools, we have problems with crime, we have problems with substance abuse. All of those things contribute and are barriers towards the successful lives of our population. I look forward to working with our tribes to see if there are ways that we as the Indian Health Service can help provide more health education into the community. I think it's important that everybody should know how to eat healthy, how to make healthy choices, the importance of exercise, and understand how the clinic works and make sure that they can get access to good quality care. So if confirmed, I look forward to working with you and our tribes on this problem as well.
Thank you. I yield back.
Senator Johnson, thank you very much. Senator McCain.
Congratulations again, Doctor, and we look forward to working with you on issues that you obviously have a very in-depth knowledge of and you're highly qualified to address. One of the problems that we have seen throughout my time on this committee is the failure, at least perceived failure on the part of the tribes to be adequately consulted when priorities are set by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Indian Health as well. So I think it's important, as you mentioned in one of your answers, that you travel to Indian country as extensively as possible, particularly at the beginning of your tenure. Again, most of the, as you know, most of the tribes that I know feel there's a big disconnect between Health and Human Services and the Indian Health Service and the tribal priorities. Sometimes I think those concerns are real, sometimes maybe not. It's just a lack of information flowing all the way to the tribal governments. Now, nearly $500 million in stimulus money goes to the Indian Health Service, as you know. $227 million of it will be spent on construction of IHS facilities. Will you have an input into what those priorities are?
Well, I am aware and I am grateful for the funding in the stimulus package for facilities in the Indian healthcare system. What I can tell you is that upon confirmation and when I assume this office, I can look into this issue and look at how priorities are made for how this funding is going to be distributed.
Do you know if those priorities have been established yet?
I know that there are existing priority lists for facilities and maintenance and construction, and I imagine that those existing priorities may have been used, but I'm going to need to look into this more once I'm become if confirmed to be the IHS director.
Well, I don't know whether those decisions have been made or not, and maybe some of them are tentative. But let me recommend to you $227 million for construction of IHS facilities, an additional $227 million, doesn't come along very often. And so let me be a little presumptuous and strongly recommend you jump right into that process now. As you know, there have been, quote, programs on the priority list that have been on there for years and years and years. You also know that the construction projects are unfunded by nearly $3.5 billion. And as of fiscal year 2008, the maintenance backlog is estimated to be $408 million. So how this money is spent, I think, is very important. And I would be very interested in how our Native American tribal leadership sets those priorities. Now, a lot of times they don't want to because they don't want to, as you well know, maybe alienate some other tribes by setting the priorities. But I think you should ask our tribal organizations what their priorities are so that they are consulted. Finally, the issue of diabetes, we are very well aware of, and I think we also know that wellness and fitness plays a big role in that. You've seen it, as I have, time after time. So I hope you will devote some of your efforts on the issue of obesity, because we all know that, you know better than I, that incidence increases dramatically, and that goes down to wellness and fitness. So I want to congratulate you. I'm sure that your nomination will be held up and there will be great controversy surrounding it, but we'll try and get it done as quickly as possible. I'm sure the chairman will agree. Thank you very much, Doctor, and thank you for your willingness to serve. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Senator McCain, thank you very much. Senator Johannes.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Doctor, it's good to see you again. I, of course, had an opportunity to visit with you at some length, and I appreciated that opportunity. And, of course, I join with Senator McCain in saying congratulations and wish you the very best. Very anxious to work with you on issues in Nebraska. Let me, if I might, follow up on the issue of diabetes, which we had a conversation about, but it's hard for me to imagine that we improve Indian health very much if we don't address the issue of diabetes in a very meaningful sort of way. I go to a reservation in Nebraska, Omaha, and dialysis center there doing great things, doing exactly what you want. Somebody shares with me that 40 to 50% of the adult population there has diabetes. And, of course, that just brings everything with it, heart problems, and it's just a bad deal. My father had adult onset diabetes. Give me some ideas, if you will, in terms of how do we attack that? How do we knock this rate down? What are some of the things that science or just good medical practices would tell us will make a difference here? If you could be in charge of everything for a day and resources were not an issue, which, of course, they always are, what would you do? What would you recommend to the Senate that we do?
Well, if confirmed, I would be pleased to work with you on this problem of diabetes in American Indians and Alaska Natives. You're correct. It's a huge problem. It is causing so much of a burden on our population, and a huge part of the budget in the Indian Health Service is spent on the complications of diabetes. I think we can focus efforts in two areas, in both prevention and treatment. I think the special diabetes program for Indians was a great start, but we clearly need to do more. I think we can do more efforts regarding prevention in our communities. Maybe we could do more prevention education in our schools with our children. Maybe we can do more education with our teenagers. More work with the tribes to make sure healthy foods are available in the grocery stores, to make sure that there's more exercise and safe walking paths so that people can be fit and healthy. So there's a lot we can do towards prevention. This is based on science. We know, based on the Diabetes Prevention Program, that lifestyle changes, including, you know, losing up to 7% of body weight through healthy eating and through regular exercise, not running marathons, but, you know, 30 minutes 5 days a week, can reduce the risk of diabetes by 58%. We know that's possible, and being a scientist, I really believe in using evidence-based strategies to be able to improve the health of our population. So in the area of prevention, we know what to do. We just need to do more of it. I think there's a lot of great lessons learned in the Special Diabetes Program for Indians, all of the great things that have been done there, and I'd like us to share the lessons learned of that program as well. So, and again, treatment, we know what we need to do for diabetes. So if confirmed, I'm looking forward to working with you all to see what else can we do to address this serious epidemic, and let's turn it around as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the answer, and I know many have worked on this issue for a long time. There's some great science out there. We do have a lot of answers, but I'll just wrap up by saying I really look forward to working with you on a whole host of issues. I have met with my tribes, and they were very excited about you, and my hope is that we can get you back to Nebraska sometime, and so I'll just extend an invitation to you now, and I hope your schedule will permit that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Johns, thank you very much. Dr. Rubidoux, the diabetes issue is a very important one, and I began work on that so long ago, flying into the Three Affiliated Tribes Reservation on a small airplane one day with the late Mickey Leland, who later died in a plane crash in Ethiopia, I believe. I was on the Hunger Committee with Mickey, and when we were both in the Congress, and we began to take a look at this issue of diabetes on Indian reservations in this country, in addition to the hunger issues on Indian reservations. I'm very interested in working with you, as I indicated earlier, and with other members of this committee on the diabetes issue. It is the case where it's not just double, triple, quadruple, in some cases 8 and 10 times the national average, and it affects virtually every other aspect of health care for American Indians who suffer from diabetes. So we have a number of programs, some special programs on diabetes. The issue of detection, treatment, and screenings, and all of those issues is very important. So this committee, and I especially, want to spend a lot of time on that with my colleagues. A couple of quick points. Number one, our colleague Senator Tester raised the point, and I raised it with you yesterday or the day before, and that is the Indian Health Service is in desperate need of good management. And your experience, your background, would not be in managing a large organization. I mean, I think you'd be the first to admit that you don't come here saying, I have a lot of experience managing 15,000 people. So but you come here with a lot of other great qualities, which commends me to very aggressively support you. But I think the number two spot that you're going to have to fill, I really hope you'll take a strong look at someone with a very significant background in management. You and I had a long discussion about some of what I think is the incompetence and the bureaucracy, the structural cement through which you have to walk in the Indian Health Service to get things done. And I think only with a very strong administrator working with you will we be successful to do that. So your response to that?
Yes, I agree with you. I need to have the highest quality people working with me if I'm confirmed as IHS director to help support all of the initiatives that we together want to implement. And I know it's a large, complex organization, and I know that there's a lot to be done and there's enormous challenges. So I will definitely, if confirmed, I'll go back and look at that position and look at the responsibilities and look at the possible candidates for that position and make a good choice. But also, in terms of making sure we have great, effective managers in our system, I'm going to make sure I take a look at all of our staff and do what I can to encourage their excellence as they work on these difficult, challenging problems.
Well, you and I talked about specifics, not specific people, but specific complaints, specific practices the other day, and so I think I have alerted you to some of the concerns. I described to you circumstances where if an employee has multiple, three or four or five EEOC complaints filed against the employee in the Indian Health Service, and in three or four occasions the case is adjudicated against the Indian Health Service employee, and that employee is continued to be employed, you know, in my judgment, it'd take a nanosecond to decide whatever it takes, we're going to get rid of employees like that. And I'm hoping that you will go to this job dedicated, number one, to promoting Indian health, and number two, to fixing the problems inside the Indian Health Service management structure. Are you familiar with the term locum tenens?
Yes, I am.
And what is that?
It means that you hire people under contract to come in for a short period of time to fill a vacancy.
And when you're with the Indian Health Service at a facility and you're trying to find a new doctor to come in and you instead contract for a temporary doctor, how much more does that cost the Indian Health Service?
Oh, the cost of contracting for healthcare providers are enormous. It can be 2 to 3 times the cost of a regular healthcare provider. It's a huge drain on our resources.
And how prevalent is that practice?
Well, unfortunately, because of the budget shortfalls that we have, some facilities are not able to recruit and retain the number of physicians and other healthcare staff that they need. But they still need to provide healthcare to the people in the community. And so one option is to hire doctors under contract to come in for a period of time. I agree with you. It would be the optimal solution would be that all of the doctors work in the clinic and are there for long periods of time. But unfortunately, the resources in the Indian Health Service are woefully inadequate. And so what happens is we have staffing shortages.
I understand that. One of the first things I'd like you to do when you are confirmed, and I believe you will be, would be to report to this committee the amount of money that is spent in this locum tenens temporary doctors program. My understanding is that, and I accept the fact that sometimes it's hard to find a doctor to come to one of these facilities. But the absence of finding a doctor means you go out and hire a temporary doctor and pay twice as much money. And my understanding is that that is not unusual at all. And if that's the case, if we're short of money for health care and paying twice as much for doctors because we're hiring temporary doctors through contracting firms, and in some cases, some of them are only doing it through one special preferred firm, and again, paying double for the doctor's services, I'm wondering whether that's a very smart way to handle the taxpayers' money.
Well, I'm looking forward to working with you on finding solutions to our shortages with healthcare providers. I would prefer that we hired healthcare providers that were in the clinics, lived in the community, who were there, so that we could provide continuity of care for our patients. We would provide better quality care if we could do that. But we are short of resources, and I look forward to working with your committee, if confirmed, to finding solutions to how we can get more resources for staff that we can hire, and incentives not only to recruit those providers, but also to retain them. It's very challenging to work in a rural area. You're out in the middle of nowhere. There's a lack of resources. You're away from major city areas. There are a number of very great, wonderful, dedicated healthcare providers that are working in our clinics and who need much more recognition, especially the ones who have been in for 10, 20, 30 years, because they have demonstrated a commitment to improving health for our people. So, yes, I'm looking forward to, if confirmed, working with you on this problem.
But I might also say, Dr. Rubidoux, that it might be hard to recruit doctors to work in poorly managed facilities. It might be that a doctor might take a look at a facility and say, you know what, that's the last place in the world I want to work. Doesn't have anything to do with the community. Just talk to people that work there. And I say that because I have visited facilities. I'll give you a couple of examples. I visited a facility in which the doctor that took me around was wonderful. I was deeply impressed by the doctor. And overworked, waiting room full, facilities not good facilities. Doctor said, here's where the new x-ray machine is going to go. Showed me this space they prepared for it. And I said, when is it coming? He said, I don't know. He said, it was approved, I think, 2 years ago. And it's all ready, but the paper has not been signed by the regional office. I said, how long has that been? He said, oh, long, long time. It just sits there and has never been signed. I said, doctor, that's unbelievable. You say it's approved, and it's awaiting a signature at a regional office, and it's been sitting there for, he said, absolutely. He said, it just drives us crazy because this should be here. This should be here to help my practice. So, you know, I mean, I think part of the difficulty of recruiting is also part of the bureaucracy that exists in the system. We have a hospital that is right now not taking patients into the hospital. And that hospital is assigning patients elsewhere because it doesn't have proper staffing. It's got a serious set of management problems. But it's not because people don't know about it. I went there, sat around the table with all of the people that ran the hospital, asked the regional director of healthcare to come to that town and sit around the table with me. That was over a year ago. Things have gotten worse, not better. It is very frustrating. That's why I told you at the start of this, you face a big challenge, and you're going to have to be tough to try to fix some of these things because you can't, you know, the fact is we can't let these things continue. The existing or former head of the Indian Health Service pledged that he was going to fix this last problem I described. It's not gotten fixed. It's gotten worse. Somehow, not even the head office seems to be able to manage a regional office that's just stuck in the glue of its own incompetence. So that's not a question. That's just an observation. And you can probably understand my frustration just by the description of what we have done. We are going to need your help to work together to write a new Indian Healthcare Improvement Bill. And we're determined to do that. We've brought on a new staff person here in the Indian Health Service, in the Indian Affairs Committee. The minority and majority staff work together on this committee for common purpose. We're going to write a bill. We hope to get a bipartisan bill through the Senate once again. And we're going to do this in a couple stages. We'll write a typical improvement bill that is better than the last one because we now, I think, have some ability to do that. And then we're going to do something even more than that. We're going to try to step up towards a broader reform. If we can offer cards for Medicare, and we have signed the line on treaties to say to the Indian folks, we've taken your land, we've given you a reservation, we promise you health care. If we've done those things and intend to keep those promises, and we should, then there isn't any reason we ought not give them some alternatives for health care as well. And that is a card to go to a hospital somewhere or some other facility whether it be Indian Health or some other healthcare facility, to meet their healthcare needs. So that represents the second piece of reform, and I want to work with my colleagues, Senator Johnson, Senator Johans. Senator Johnson, for example, he understands, I think Senator Johans does as well, because they have the same geographical circumstance. Indian reservations in our area are not located near a big metropolitan area. So the Indian Health Service represents the preferred and the first and often the only circumstance where Indians can, Native Americans can access health care. So I'm going to, I didn't mean to give a presentation here, but I'm going to really lean on your advice and help as we prepare, our committee members and our staff work to prepare some improvements in Indian health care, and we hope very much in this session of Congress, finally, at last, at long, long last, we will get that done. Great. Do you have any concluding comments, Dr. Rubidoux?
Well, I would just like to say thank you, Chairman Dorgan, and the rest of the committee for having this opportunity to talk about American Indian Alaska Native health today. I know there's enormous challenges. I know there's problems. But if confirmed, I'm really looking forward to working with you to find solutions so that we can say that we've all contributed to improving the health of American Indian and Alaska Native people.
Well, let me end on a positive note as well. All is not hopeless. I mean, I think the fact that someone with great qualifications will step forward to say, let me be part of fixing things, that gives me great cause for hope. And you do inherit thousands of people in that system who today, right now, are working, going door to door in their clinic, helping people, terrific people. My compliments to them, and God bless them for doing it. So there's a lot of assets and a good foundation to build upon. So all is not lost here. If we work together, we can fix what's wrong, we can improve it, and we can make it right. And so this hearing gives me hope that that you're willing to serve and willing to help us make a difference. Senator Johnson, anything further? Senator Johans? All right, thank you very much. This hearing is adjourned.